In this Advent series in 2023, as we prepare to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ, we are considering comfortable words for uncomfortable times through the writings of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet. Authoritarian regimes, in their ancient or modern forms, attempt to imprison and silence dissent. Across the centuries, people of faith have been inspired by writers who were held captive. We think of John Bunyan in 17th century England and his Pilgrim's Progress, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor held captive in Nazi Germany, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Nobel Prize winner held captive in the Soviet Union. These men gave voice to those who were held captive in authoritarian regimes. The prophet Isaiah gave voice to the longings of those who were held captive in Babylon, the world superpower of the 6th century BC. In chapter 61 of his prophecy, we find a poem written in four voices, almost like a choral piece in four parts. The first voice, in verses 1 to 3, is in the first person, and they read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." This first voice is the voice of an anointed one, the Messiah, endowed with the Spirit of God, sent to bring good news to the captives. The Messiah's mission, his task, is articulated in seven clauses in these first three verses. They are to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who mourn in Jerusalem or Zion. Together, these seven clauses represent the great reversal of the exile, the captivity of God's people. Everything is going to change. This is none other than the voice of hope. A second voice is heard in verses 4 to 7, and it's in the second person. It reads, "They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your ploughmen and vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. And you shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land they shall possess a double portion, and they shall have everlasting joy." This second voice is a voice of a ruler, an administrator, who inspires people, who arranges the reconstruction in verse 4, who organizes the repair of ruined and devastated cities, who reboots the temple economy, which is brought back to life with revenue streams from all over the world. The wealth of the nations will pour into Jerusalem. And again, the thrust of this voice is the reversal of things. Things will be different. Verse 7, that phrase, instead of, it will be something different. This is the voice of restoration. A third voice is heard in verses 8 to 9. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are an offspring of the Lord, which he has blessed. This third voice is the voice of God. For I, the Lord, in verse 8, and this God identifies himself with justice. He hates robbery and wrong. He is faithful, and he himself will bring about the recompense, and the world at large will know it as he reestablishes his covenant with his people. This, verse 9 reminds us, is the Lord's doing, not human agency. This is the voice of authority. And the fourth and final voice brings the poem to a close in verses 10 and 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is a voice of thanksgiving in the first person. Verse 9, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And the language in these two verses is sumptuous. This person will be clothed in garments of salvation. They will wear a robe of righteousness. They will be like a bedecked groom or a jeweled bride. A new thing will spring up before the world. All the nations will acknowledge it. This is God's springtime, a voice of anticipation. These voices in Isaiah 61 were heard by those in exile in Babylon, the captives. They spoke eloquently about God's activity, which was fulfilled in history. For under the Persian king Artaxerxes, and through the work of Ezra, a Jewish priest, and Nehemiah, a Jewish administrator, the exiles returned home. They found comfort in uncomfortable times. And this poetic voice speaks to us in our uncomfortable times. In what way? Well, these words, first of all, affirm that God is at work in history, then as is now. one and the same. History is God's canvas. Our news reads, our news bulletins and news feeds are merely footnotes in God's ongoing work. And what is God doing? What is his ultimate purpose? The renaissance of humanity, which will culminate in Christ's return. And in the meantime, as we ready ourselves, as we prepare ourselves, as we live through uncomfortable times, these words encourage us to trust God, to align ourselves to his purpose, and to observe his ways in the history of the world. Secondly, these words speak of exile. The tide is going out for Christianity in Ireland. The Church of Jesus Christ in Ireland and in much of the Western world lives in exile. As the Western world has lost its Christian moorings and Christian heritage. And so Christians so often feel that we don't belong. We feel uncomfortable and the discomfort of belonging. One thinks of John Dunlop's phrase, a precarious belonging. Followers of Jesus Christ in every age and in our time are aliens and strangers. That's biblical language. And this poem sustains us in dry and weary times, waiting for the tide to return. The words of Isaiah were an inspiration to those who were held in captive. The great reversal happened for them, and the tide will come for us. These words of Isaiah were written by someone, as Reinhold Niebuhr, the theologian, said, not the story of an eye operation told by a surgeon who performed it, but the story of an eye told by the person who had their eyesight reversed, renewed, restored. And finally, the voices of Isaiah 61 find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In his earthly ministry, he came to his home place, Nazareth in Galilee, and was invited to read and to comment on the scripture of the day. And he was given a scroll, and that scroll was Isaiah 61. And as he opened the scroll, he read it. And to those who knew him, to those neighbors and friends, he said a remarkable thing. These words are happening now. Jesus is good news. The transformer of lives, of churches, of communities. He is the Messiah. He is the one who we are waiting to return. Augustine, a 4th century Christian whose early life was masked by shame and dishonor, said, I have heard many fine and beautiful words by Cicero and Aristotle, but I have never heard words such as these. Come to me, all who are heavy with care, and I will refresh you. The voice who calls us, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, calls us to renaissance, to restoration, and to himself.